بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We hope everyone's well, inshallah. Tomorrow is our Khatam night at the Masjid. Please make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and accept from all of us, inshallah. We also have a little bit left. Obviously, the tafsir will go to probably the last day of Ramadan. We'll see, inshallah ta'ala. Today's section is a very captivating and motivating section. It's a section which really brings chills down my spine. It is like the crux of what Allah ta'ala was warning about in Surah Hud, right? So again, the surah is designed around the warner, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's trying his best to explain it to his people from the impending doom or the punishment of Allah Ta'ala that is to befall them. And so Hud, Surah Hud, is really focused around that idea that prophets have to accept once the punishment of Allah Ta'ala has come down. And so this next section is like the demonstration of that, and it hits you really hard, you know. So we'll see, inshallah, when we get there. Okay, but listen to it with that lens, and you'll see the concern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the love of Allah ta'ala throughout it. And I'll explain and I'll highlight it there, inshallah ta'ala. One of the things that when you read the Quran, you have to read it with Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillahir Rahman ar-Rahim, right? In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. When you read the Quran, you have to read it with the lens of Allah ta'ala's rahmah. If you don't read it with that lens, you'll kind of misunderstand what Allah ta'ala is saying at this time. And so when you see him speaking about these things, remember that we are alive right now. Okay, I'm going to go through it, inshallah. But note that we are alive right now. We are breathing right now. We have our brains. We have our minds. We can make decisions. And so when you read the Quran, you have to remember when it's speaking about something of the past, it's not speaking of the past just because it wants to tell you something like a historical fact. The Quran wants you to apply what happened in the past and put it into your own life. So if you saw something in the past that really resonated and clicked with you, your job is to implement and practice on it, or to avoid whatever Allah Ta'ala was saying. Okay? And so we're going to see that, inshallah ta'ala. It's going to come up later. But keep those things in mind. Again, about that we're supposed to listen to the Quran and take the lesson for ourselves and read it through the lens of the kindness of Allah Ta'ala, and then you will get into the right message. Okay? So we sent Musa alayhi salam to a people like Quraysh. We spoke about all the other prophets before, about Nuh, Hud, Salih alayhi salam, then about Lut, about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then we spoke about Shu'aib alayhi salam. Now the final prophet which is mentioned in Surah Hud is about Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was sent to a people like Quraysh. Again, every single one of the people of the past have a distinct similarity with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam and the people of the Quraysh, the Meccan people of the time. Right, so Musa alayhi salam was sent to a people like Quraysh as well. How so? وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. These short ayat sometimes feel like they've explained everything very quickly. But you have to grasp what Allah is saying, you know. So we sent Musa alayhi salam with our signs and with clear authority. So to make this resoundingly clear for everyone, okay, our signs, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا, and surely without a doubt, we have sent Musa alayhi salam بِآيَاتِنَا, with our magnificent, extraordinary signs. If Allah is connecting it to himself, you know it's something great. When Allah Ta'ala says it's my prophet, or it's my religion, or my deen, or you know, my house, when I say it's mine, it's personal, right? When Allah says it's our signs, this royalty, right? The king, he speaks, he says about our kingdom. We sent our magnificent signs, these royal edicts, these lessons for everyone to see. When a king sends out a message, everyone reads it. There's without a doubt, everyone's going to read it. Everyone's going to see it. So Allah Ta'ala puts these blinking signs in front of every one of the people of Fir'aun, and says, you got to follow these things. He gave it to Musa alayhi salam, the signs, number one. Number two was a sultanim mubin, with a clear command. What does it mean to have a sultan? A sultan is a person who has full authority over the land in which he has control, the land which he resides in, the land which he has control over. So he can do whatever he wants. Sultan is someone that, you know, like you hear like Sultan Abdul Hamid, Sultan whatever, whatever. These sultans are people that have authority, have power. They've been given power from someone else and they have full reign on whatever they say, right? So Musa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala says, number one, he's been given extraordinary signs. And the second thing is that he's been given clear command and authority from Allah Ta'ala. clear, mubeen, something which clarifies, makes it resoundingly clear for everyone to see it. So what does that mean? What does that mean when you've been given clear authority? Is that when you see a person, there are certain people, like I'll give, you know, forget about what you're saying right now. Imagine if you met Umar radiallahu anhu. Okay? Imagine if you met Umar radiallahu anhu. Like, let's just say you were walking down the street and you just saw him. You know, I don't want to give examples of today's people and stuff like that because I just don't want to do that. But let's just say, you know, everyone knows who Umar was and you saw him. What kind of awe, what kind of respect would this man command, you know, just by seeing him? All right, let me give you a better example. Imagine if you saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine he was walking down the street, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, that feeling that he is walking by, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that, imagine just being around his presence. Such a weight must be around him, you know, that gravity. You just feel like you can't even breathe sometimes in front of people. Their presence is just so like, so magnanimous, right? It's just so big, you know? So imagine being in front of Musa alayhi salam. His voice, his command, his discussions, his enthusiasm, his charisma. You know, when you see a true leader to be followed, you don't even ask any questions anymore. You just say, I got to follow this man. When you hear Sultani Mubin in the Quran, the idea should come into your head that wherever this man walks, you follow. Whatever this man says, you do. If he says to jump, you say, how high? That's how what type of person is Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Allah says we gave him that distinct command. So no matter where you go, you're always going to find, if you find Musa alayhi salam, you'll tell yourself this is the person to follow. So in life, you have two types of people, two types of leaders. There are certain leaders you follow because you have no other choice. There's a certain president I could highlight right now. I'm not going to do it, but you get my drift. You didn't really have a choice in following him. You just kind of had to do it, you know? So there are certain people in life that you're just kind of stuck with. All right, you know, so death do us part, I guess, right? So you just can't do anything about these leaders here. On the flip, there are others who you can't help but want to follow. When you see this leader in front of you, you tell yourself, man, this is the person who has a plan. This is the man that I need to follow to the day that I die. This is the person I'm committed to. This is the person on a mission to fix the entire world. When you see these types of individuals in life, you tell yourself, man, I gotta follow you, no matter what. If you have something that I need and I desire it, this is Musa alayhi salam, to make it resoundingly clear, making clear for everyone. Now, when it comes to Fir'aun, إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ. So Allah says, we sent him, Musa alayhi salam, to a people like Quraysh. Who are they? They're the people of Fir'aun. To Fir'aun وَمَلَئِهِ and his elite, the people who are on the top of the society. We sent it to Pharaoh and his elite, okay? The Pharaoh at the time of the Prophet ﷺ is a man named Abu Jahl, and the elite are the elite of the Quraysh. And so Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, look, you are a man who is like Musa. Wherever you walk, people follow. Whatever footsteps you take, people mark it. Wherever you make wudu, people catch the drops. Wherever your hair falls, they catch your hairs, alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm telling you about a person, the personhood of the Prophet ﷺ, who he was. People literally, man, they love this person so much, alayhi salatu wasalam. They recorded every single little bit of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you're talking about a person who had true sultan, true authority, it was the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way he captured people's hearts, you can't replicate that stuff. So Musa alayhi wa sallam was also sent to a people like Quraysh, to Fir'aun and his elite. And you would think that if a person like Musa alayhi wa sallam was in the society, people would follow Musa alayhi wa sallam. فَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ فِرْعَوْنَ. What happened? They followed Pharaoh's orders. They followed Pharaoh's orders. The word ittiba in Arabic is when you're following everyone footstep for footstep. It's like as if Musa alayhi salam's command, his charisma, his enthusiasm, his leadership, his persona didn't affect them at all. Fir'aun was just a person they wanted to follow. Whatever he said, they would do. Exactly what he said. وَمَا أَمْرُ فِرْعَوْنَ بِرَشِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comments on Fir'aun's orders and says, the Pharaoh's orders were completely misguided. There was no guidance in them. It was completely way off. He was completely off. And so you must wonder, why would you follow someone who's so obviously wrong, who's so blatantly wrong? Why would you follow such a person? When you saw Musa, again, if you and I saw the Prophet ﷺ, I have a good feeling in our hearts that we would just sort of just followed him because of the individual. ﷺ. There are certain people in life who you can't help but follow. Why would you follow someone who's so obviously wrong when he's competing with Musa ﷺ? The only reason why people would do it is because of arrogance. Is that they don't want to leave the way of their forefathers. They don't want to follow someone who's not from their tribe. They don't want to follow a religion that asks them to submit, to live a different lifestyle. It's just arrogance, just straight up arrogance. What else could you blame? I just don't want to. It's not my feeling. What, you know, if it's the laws of the world, if it's a law from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why does it matter what I feel afterwards? I should be willing to accept that this is Allah's law, then I have to follow Allah. That's all it should be. So this arrogance that's in them is what's preventing them. And some people are just like that. The Prophet is being told that there are certain people in life that you're not going to be able to help, because there are certain people in life that just chose the path of blindness. They don't want to see, and there's nothing you can do to help them to see. This is not your fault, Prophet or anyone else's. When you're trying to help people and you're in this job of trying to help people and connect them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find people in life that just make you feel so depressed. As if, like, you know, if you wish you could give your life to them. It's how much you have so much love for them that you wish that they could get guided and find Islam. But the thing is that you can't choose guidance for someone else. They have to choose it for themselves. If they don't choose it, you can't do anything about it. It has to be their choice. So Allah Ta'ala talks about it and says, what is the result of this choice? And this is how it beautifully segues into the Day of Judgment. This is what Allah Ta'ala talks about. What is the result of these choices? We haven't heard it yet, right? We only heard punishments in this life. Now the scene shifts to the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala wants us to look at the scene of Qiyamah. Look at what happens in the next life. This is information which no one has. This is information that no scientist can give you. No doctor can give it to you. No physician. No one in life could give it to you except a prophet who came from God, except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah just shows us the glimpse of the hereafter to tell us what's going to happen to people that follow this way, if they're not willing to change their path. يَقُدُومُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ وَبِتْسَ الْوِدُّ الْمَوْرُودِ. This is a heavy ayah. He will lead his people on the Day of Judgment and lead them to the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the result of this leader that you are following? This person that you gave your life to, even though your eyes, your ears, and your hearts were telling you that this prophet that came in front of you, O Quraysh, you knew for a fact this man was speaking the truth. Where are you going to? Where are you headed if you follow Abu Jahl? He will lead his people on the Day of Judgment, and he will lead them directly to the fire of Jahannam. Imagine the person that you're walking behind. You're not even looking up. You're closing your eyes and ears and you're walking right behind him. And he's walking off a cliff. And he's going straight into the fire of hell. For you to understand this last part and to recognize what that part is, I'll teach you a little bit of Arabic. We're trying to emphasize something. In Arabic, you have a couple of options. You can use the subject form, because Arabic is about, you know, root words, and you can move them to different forms. You can either use the subject form, which is sadiq, like katib, rafi', right? Nazil, right? This form of a'il, right? Sadiq, right? This is the subject form. You can say someone is very truthful if you want to say they're sadiq, okay? You can use the subject form. Again, it has the form of a'il, right? Fa'il, right? That's the subject form. In object form, if you want to emphasize, you can also use the object form. The object form is, for example, masduq, maf'ul, marfu', maqbool. They're all in the same pattern, right? Mamdum, whatever, right? It's just that feeling of having the meme in the beginning, the M in the beginning, and putting that oo sound at the end. This is the object form. If you want to emphasize something. So for example, I want to say someone who's very truthful, I'll say they're sadiq. They're sadiq. Or if I want to say they're really truthful, I'll say they're masduq. They're a person who is, you know, anything they say, they are like a place of truth. Wherever you find from them will be truth. So you can either say sadiq, the subject form, masduq, the object form. If you really want to emphasize something to the highest degree, use both subject and object forms. So for example, they talk about the Prophet ﷺ, they say, he is sadiqul masduq. He is sadiq masduq. He is exceptionally truthful. Anything that emanates from this man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is truth. Okay, this is when you use the highest form. Okay, when you put both subject form, sadiq, and object form, masduq, together, you get the highest form of emphasis. There is a step beyond that though. You can go beyond that by using a root word. And to give you a quick understanding about a root word, it's, for example, the word truth. You know, in Arabic, it would be sidq, you know? And so you could say someone is truthful. I could be like, nah, she is truth. You know, what she says is truth, she is truth. she is modesty. You actually use the root word to describe the person. So for example, say she is truth, right? Whatever she says, anything about her, her essence is truth, right? And for example, you know, we call someone justice, like the Supreme Court justices, right? You can say someone is just, but when you say someone is justice, that's like a high level, bro. You've put them on the highest pedestal. That's why we call Allah Ta'ala al-Adl, right? Allah Ta'ala is justice. You cannot be more just than Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we say, you know, to emphasize things, we'll use the root word to bring them up to the highest caliber. When you see a sister of such modesty, of such haya, you say, wow, she is modesty. You know, this person is mercy, you know? You use the root word to describe them. So you can actually do this with, you know, when you're putting all the words together. And I'll show you now. The word warada means to lead someone to a pond. When you are wadid in Arabic, you're leading someone to a pond to give them something to drink. They were extremely thirsty. And so you decided to find a well, you decided to find a pond, and you led them there so that way they could have some drink, you know, so have some hope, have some support, you know, give them some life. Allah Ta'ala describes what Fir'aun did, you know, as not wadid mawrud. This is the subject and object form. This is using subject and object form. Wadid mawrud. It is a bad place to drink. Allah Ta'ala used wirdul mawrud. He used the root word and he used the object form. The ultimate, absolute worst place to be led to is the place that Fir'aun was leading you towards. Because when you thought he was going to lead you to a place of drink, he led you to lava and fire in the depths of Jahannam. This is the expression Allah Ta'ala uses. He says there's no higher word that you can use to describe what Fir'aun did to his people. That they were following a man that he was giving some such propaganda, speaking so big to them, bragging about how he controls everything and everything what he was saying. And then at the end, you find that they were following him to find some water. He leads him towards the fire of Jahannam. Bitsal widdul mawrud, the absolute worst place to be led to. And so when people are following people in this life, look at the end result. Don't look at what happens in this life for 5 years or 10 years. Tell me what happens in the hereafter if you follow this person. That's what I want to hear. Tell me, where is the source? What is the water? What is the spring that they're sending you to? Where are they bringing to you at the end of this life and the end of hereafter? Show me it. In this life, what did Fir'aun do? He led his people straight into the ocean. You're talking about, forget about the hereafter. In this world, he led them into the ocean. And in the next life, now he's going to feed them the fire of Jahannam. This is the absolute worst thing you could ever imagine. Bitsal wirdul mawrud. This is why the expression is so beautiful. Why would you ever take this person as a guide? Why would you ever follow these people? That they don't know anything about themselves. They don't know anything about the communities they live in. They don't know anything about anything. They don't know anything about the hereafter. Why in Allah's name would you ever follow these people? Who the heck would take them as a guide and say that, you know, this is the person who's figured out how to live life. This person that's going to be in the grave one day, the same guy who lives in a mansion, 3 mansions, 10 mansions. At the end, his qabr will be how big? His grave will be how big? As big as my own grave. And we're all going to be in the ground. The same way my body's going to be worm food one day, he's going to be worm food too. Why would you ever follow these people? Like, you know, why would you have to take them as a guide? How could they ever navigate the labyrinth of life? Life is so complicated. Why would you ever follow these people? And it's not only that, Allah Ta'ala says, that the fact is they followed a wretched person. It's even worse. وَأُتْبِعُوا فِي هَذِهِ لَعْنَةً وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِتْسَ الرِّفْدُ الْمَرْفُودِ. Okay? And if the feeling you should get in your heart is a feeling of sadness and grief, because I felt this when I read these ayat. I felt miserable for these people because I could imagine such a person like Fir'aun was leading them and they thought they were going towards success and just everything just fell apart. Went straight into the water, now into the fire, Jahannam. وَأُتْبِعُوا. And even worse than that is what? A terrible curse pursued them. It chased after them. If we're using the word atba in Arabic, it means when you're following someone to catch the first person. No matter where you go, atba means I'm going to follow you and get you. So a terrible curse pursued them here in this life. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ and on the day of judgment, وَبِتْسَ رِفْدُ الْمَرْفُودِ. You think it sounds like wirdul mawrud? You're not wrong. We'll get there in a second, inshallah. What a terrible gift. They were all going one way. They were all going one direction. And they did not realize that right behind them was a curse. Wherever they would go, this curse would follow them. Wherever they would go, they would find that there's no comfort anymore. No happiness anymore. Just depression and anxiety. They find that life without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a life that is full of misery, full of sadness and grief. They can't find any more happiness. Because why? Because life seems so pointless. And so they're following this man Fir'aun, But even in Fir'aun's own house, he has his own wife except Islam. Can you think about that? Just for a brief moment, just think about how miserable his own house was. The people in his own household are accepting Islam. It's following him wherever he goes. This curse is behind all of them. And so, and the worst part is that if you're thinking about Fir'aun, who talks about him? Who remembers him? Who discusses the people of Hud and of Salih and of Nuh alayhi salam? Who talks about these people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, of Lut alayhi salam? Does anyone ever praise them? Does anyone ever talk about them? In this world we're talking about, the curse of Allah that is such that no one will ever remember them. No one will speak about them. They died, and they all died pitiful deaths. In terms of where they died, there's no qabr for them. There's no grave to visit them. Where's the graveyard of Fir'aun? Can anyone point me towards there? Can anyone show me where the graveyards of Hud and Salih alayhi salam's people were? When people disobey Allah Ta'ala and they cause tyranny in the world, what's going to happen is the death is not going to be an easy death for them. People are not going to remember them in good ways. May Allah save us and protect us and give us that tawfiq and understanding. And again, this is that strong reminder I told you in Surah Hud. In this wretched life, this is what they got. Well, yawm al-qiyamah, it's even worse. The Day of Judgment, this curse of Allah Ta'ala will be so vast, it will expand everywhere, wherever this person goes. First and foremost, we talked about the sudden death. They weren't expecting to die. The worst death in life is a sudden death. The Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge from mawtil mufa'aja or mawtil faj'a, the death of suddenness. Because when a person dies a sudden death, they have no preparation, no time to get ready. No one's around you to say, La ilaha illallah. You know, you want someone to be around you to comfort you at that time, right? A sudden death is what? There was no getting ready for it, no preparation. And you were thinking about this long life you would have and instantly it's gone. So the first thing is first and foremost is what? That when they left this world, it was sudden. They had no chance of ever making tawbah or anything like that. And then the second thing is what? That they realized that once they died, they realized that Fir'aun, the man that they followed, was a curse on this world. What he was saying was an absolute lie. Things he was saying was fake. None of it was real. Can you imagine that? That feeling of regret for those people that followed him. And so you would ask this question, why? You know, if I'm talking about the big question of the Day of Judgment, what is the big question of the Day of Judgment? Is why? Why in Allah's name was I doing this? Why did I do that? Why was I saying? Why did I yell at her? Why did I scream at this person? Why didn't I give sadaqah? So many whys. You know, the grave is this place. It is the graveyard of regrets. It is the place of hopes and dreams and just question of why. These people on the Day of Judgment, the people of Fir'aun are probably saying, why did I follow him? What was I doing? What drove me to think that this person was on haqq? And what happens is on that day, the curse starts to come on. When you start getting upset and frustrated and angry, and you can't seem to explain things around you, the facts don't make sense anymore. You just start blaming everyone around you. This is your fault. This is your fault. This is your fault. People start yelling at each other. People start yelling at these atheists. And people start yelling at these people on the Day of Judgment and say that this is your fault. We followed you because you said that life was just this life. And look at us, we're raised on the Day of Judgment. What are we going to do now? We didn't prepare anything. We didn't get ready anything. The people of Fir'aun are like that. The people of Hud are like that. And Salih alayhi wasalam were like that. They all start cursing each other. The curse of Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment is even more vast. You and I don't even have a fraction of it in this world. We're talking about regret and sadness. That day when everyone hates each other, everyone will hate each other. Say, why did I have this friend? This friend that I thought would lead me to the best, I see him now, he's leading me to the fire. So this is the worst group to be with. Why am I with these people is the big question of the Day of Judgment. The rifdul marfud. Okay, this is the worst gift in all of existence. In terms of what you expected from your friends, that on the days of happiness and joy, they would give you good gifts. They will give you great gifts. They will make you happy. And sometimes in times of need, you give a friend a rift. Rift in Arabic is a gift in which helps them to support them, to stabilize them. If they're having financial difficulty, for example, you give them the rift and mashallah, it's money and alhamdulillah, they feel much better, you know? So the riftul marfud is the worst gift in all of existence. Allah Ta'ala says they thought they were helping each other, but in reality, what they were doing was leading to each other's doom and demise. This is the worst gift in all of existence. They find themselves in front of the fire. They thought they would help and support each other, but there's no help on the Day of Judgment. So then Allah Ta'ala says to everyone and to everyone that's listening, to hear about the tragic end of all these people, about where they're leading and the final result of these people, ذلك من أنباء القرى نقصه عليك. O Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the people that are listening, all the people that are alive and breathing today, those are some stories of the towns that we narrate to you. Some of the stories that you could have never heard about. Tell me any doctor who could tell me about the conversation between Nuh alayhi salam and his son. Tell me any person, any historian, any archaeologist who could tell me about the story of Hud alayhi salam and his people, of Salih alayhi salam and his people, the discussions of Lut alayhi salam, what happened and how they abused him. Tell me about these things. No one could tell you. The only being in all of existence who could tell you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's Allah that's announcing to everyone, listen to what I'm telling you. These are stories that no one could know about, of Nuh, Hud, Salih, Lut, Ibrahim, Shu'aib, and Musa alayhi wasalam. I showed you time after time again that this was absolutely impossible for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam to know about, because he did not know Hebrew. He did not know Aramaic. He did not know the language of Nuh or of Ibrahim. He did not know the languages of these people of the past, yet he's bringing you their stories from a man who does not know how to read or write, never been in a temple, never been in a church, never been in a synagogue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never been near a rabbi. The Jews hated the Arabs. Don't think they would teach them their stories. These stories that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verbatim is narrating them from the Bible. How does he know these things in the pits, in the areas of Makkah? These are stories which were impossible for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to know about. You and I need to come to terms that this is from Allah. And you and I need to make sajda and worship Allah. Go connect with him. What's more remarkable, and to me, and the most remarkable thing is that the Quraysh are asking for this sign and this sign. Why don't you just bring down these signs? Yeah, he does not get to choose what comes down. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you think about Surah Hud, the entire surah is actually talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The entire surah is telling him to be patient, you know? If you were trying to, you know, bring a message, you know, and if it's my religion, if I made it up, I would just bring you the verses that you wanted, right? That's the logical thing. That if I made it up, I can make up more verses and I could just give you whatever you want. The most remarkable thing is that the Prophet ﷺ is desperately waiting for, you know, I want this to come down, I want this to come down. Allah says, it's not your choice, Prophet. This is a sign from Allah. That it's not the decision of Allah, it's not the decision of any man. It is the decision of Rabbul Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how you know the Quran is from Allah. Because the entire surah is not even talking about Quraysh. The entire surah is talking to the Prophet ﷺ, telling him to be patient. So then what does Allah ta'ala tell us? Minha qa'imun wa hasid. Some of them are still standing. Some of them are harvested. What is this talking about? Either talking about the places, the lands. Some of these lands have artifacts remaining for everyone to pass by. The areas of Salih alayhi salam, the people of Thamud, still have their civilization. For anyone to go towards the areas of Hegra or the areas of Petra, you'll still find the lands of Ad and Thamud. The structures are there. If you want to visit them, you can see them. Clear as day about what people live there now, where they are. You know, if you want to pass by them, you can. And there are certain people that have been completely ripped out. Minha qa'imun. Some of them are standing. Some of them are completely harvested. When you harvest something, you leave nothing behind. This is the beautiful elegance and eloquence of the Quran. It says that when you harvest something, there's nothing left behind. Some societies, some civilizations are completely ripped out. Try to find the land of Nuh alayhi salam. Try to find the people. When Allah says, I ripped you out, you're not coming back. So Allah says that there are certain people that were ripped out of the world completely. And if they're talking about the towns, that's one way of looking at it. What could also be another meaning of standing and harvest is what we're talking about, the people. And this is the hard reality, the facts that we need to come to terms with. What is it? That after listening to all of these prophets and all their people, what came across everyone's minds? Is that we heard the stories, their back and forths, their discussions, the munazara, the debates, and all these things. You heard about it from Nuh alayhi salam. You heard how disrespectful they were to Nuh alayhi salam. You heard how rude they were. How they said that we don't think, you know, you're a very lowly person, they said. The people that follow you are disgraceful. We can't even look at them. You know how rude they were to Nuh alayhi salam. And you're looking at Hud alayhi salam, how arrogant the people of Ad were. The people of Ad were saying what? That Hud, you're a nobody. You're such a weakling. We'll destroy you. We'll take care of you. We'll finish you right now. How rude they were to Hud alayhi salam. When it came to Salih alayhi salam, he even gave them the sign that they were asking for. And even after giving them their sign, you saw how despicable they were to Salih alayhi salam. They ended up killing the camel. The camel of Allah Ta'ala that he made come out of a mountain for them. This is their arrogance there. That we find the people of Lut alayhi salam, how, you know, you can't even have a word to describe the level of indecency that these people had reached to such a degree that when Lut alayhi salam has his own guests in their own house, they storm into his house and they disrespect him completely, tried to even do this terrible act in front of his daughters. These were not, and you're looking at the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, how rude they were to him, and every single one of these prophets, you saw that they brought answers, clear answers for everyone. This is a wallahi, we saw from every single one of the stories, they brought beautiful responses, beautiful arguments. There was no discussion you could have, no intellectual discussions, because they cemented their point so thoroughly that no one could give a response to them. But the thing is that they themselves, the people of Ad, Hud, Salih, name any single one of these people, that they chose not to follow. They said, we just don't want to follow you. We don't want to be with you. So what is their answer on the Day of Judgment? You know, when the harvest has come, and now the crops are there, and then what happens is what? When the crops are harvested, Allah Ta'ala says, it's not just used for the fact that Allah Ta'ala rips them out. It's the fact that, you know, when you have a land and you harvested the crops, there is another, you know, the land is free now. So then you allow more seeds to go down, right? You plant more things. So Allah describes this world like a harvest in the sense that, you know, one crop comes, we take it off, another crop comes, we take it off, another crop comes, we take it off. You know, and this is what life is. You know, where we are living right now, there were Native Americans, you know, there were people that lived in our land before we lived here. They had their chance, you know, they had their exam, they were in the exam hall, they all got a chance to answer whatever they wanted, and then they leave the world. Then the next cute group of people come. This is what this life is about. People get so upset about one or two people in this world. Wallahi, we're all meant to go from this world. This person you're complaining about, you're upset about, Allah will give them their judgment, Allah will give my judgment. Don't worry, the harvest is coming. Another people will come after us. Our children, our grandchildren will come. They'll take over after us. Now it's our turn. Now it's our time to decide. How will we be on the Day of Judgment? This is the question that Allah Ta'ala wants us to think about. That on that day, Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala reminds us of everything that happened in this life, and He'll bring out the books, He'll bring out the arguments, He'll bring out the prophets, He'll bring out every single message, He'll give us every single sign that we were given in our life, and He'll show us, I gave you sign after sign, I give you message after message. What happened? What happened? And then you just think about that day that I'll stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by myself, in front of Allah, that the defendants on that day, you know, the defendant is me. I'm coming in the day, on the prosecution side is whom? It is the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is my wife, it is my kids. It is my mother and my father. It is, you know, the prophets alayhi wa sallam will be there. And everyone will be there. And the angels will be there. The earth will be there. Everyone will be testifying against me. That day is an unbelievably frightening one. Forget about any day of this life. Forget about any day of this life. What day compares to Qiyamah? Give me one day in life that compares to the Day of Judgment. And then maybe we can apologize to people and just say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. You know, I made a mistake. Can you forgive me? Because on that day, I don't want to come to fight with anyone. I just want that Allah forgive us for all our sins. And I want Allah to put us all in Jannah. That's what I want. And that's why I'm living this life. That's why I'm worshiping Allah. Because I worry about that day. And everyone should be worried. That can I stand on that day? And that's the idea that Allah said, Minha qa'imun wa hasid. There are those who manage the right decision on the Day of Judgment. There are those who can stand. That you can actually have something to say on the Day of Judgment. And you can brag and boast. On the Day of Judgment, there are two groups of people. They're the harvested ones, the ones that were taken off this world, and they're the ones that made the right decision, that we always remember them. Can you imagine this man, Nuh alayhi salam, how many thousands of years he lived? Yeah, we're talking about him like he is alive today. You know? About Hud and Salih alayhi salam, about Musa alayhi salam. These are people that lived centuries and millennia ago. Yeah, we're talking about them like they're standing right before us. This is a miracle of this book. And that's why Allah is telling us that, look, when you make the right decisions in life, don't worry, you will be able to stand on the Day of Judgment. You will be able to make a good position for yourself. You'll enter a beautiful place, but make the right decision. Don't wait anymore. Don't think about tomorrow or the next day. Tell yourself now. The one who tells you tomorrow and the next day is only shaitan. The one that we can make the right decision, the decision we make is now. There's a bit more, inshallah. There's one more. There's the epic scene of the Day of Judgment will go on, at least for tomorrow and the next day. We ask Allah that we make the right decisions and we see the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, that He's speaking to us when He talks about us, talks about the people of the past in the Quran. He wants us in the 21st century to make the right decisions. May Allah allow us to make those decisions and live a life that's fulfilling, a life that's connected to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us that connection with Him, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. I thank you all, jazakallah. And I ask you all, inshallah, if you have some time, do join the dua. Tomorrow at the khatam, inshallah ta'ala, and please make dua for the ummah when you when you get a chance, inshallah. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.